I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Raj Punjabi, head of identity content at HuffPost.
And I'm Noah Michelson, head of HuffPost Personal.
Welcome to Am I Doing It Wrong, the show that explores the all-too-human anxieties we have about trying to get our lives right.
Okay, Raj, I think I already know the answer to this question, but how wrong are you doing online privacy?
Literally so wrong. I mean, it's not because I don't want to protect myself. I'm just not sure how. I'm not sure how complicated my passwords should be. It's a mess. What about you?
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I go onto a site and they're like, hey, do you want this cookie? And I'm like, yeah,
yes.
I want that cookie. I'm not going to say no to that cookie. And it's bad. But I also feel like, yeah, it seems like a lot of work. I know it's worth it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth it. I think we need to figure out how to be better just to, you know.
The best thing about this is that we have an expert who's going to teach us how to be better. Alisa Hutnick. She's a privacy attorney at Kelly Dry and Warren LLP in Washington, D.C. She's been doing this kind of stuff for 22 years before there even was an internet, basically.
Yeah.
So she's going to help us get right with our messy, messy online presences.
Come through, privacy superhero.
Alisa, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So let's start with, I think, public Wi-Fi. Mm. I've always heard, like, don't use it. It's a bad idea. But then it pops up when I'm on the subway and I'm like, maybe I can just, it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. How bad is using public Wi-Fi?
So it's a really good question. And like anything, everything's just evolved over time. So it used to be websites were just weren't encrypted. And so that was really risky because anything you essentially would communicate to a website could be viewed by others who are snooping. And if I might just go back, like the basics, right? When you're connecting to Wi-Fi, right? You're in the subway. You are basically sending information from your phone to the websites that you're visiting, right?
Yep.
And so kind of, I'll call it before times, it wasn't encrypted. And so things could be what we'll call plain text. But we've thankfully evolved. We're definitely not perfect, but it's much better. You can a cheat sheet, like if you look at your browser, it'll either say HTTP, not secure, or HTTPS. And the S stands for secure. And that's how you know the website is encrypted. So that's really great. What I would still say, because most of the time you're not looking at your browser to verify that every single time, is don't do anything like that you wouldn't want to potentially have overheard. So not financial services, right? Anything that's really private, I would save that when you're not on Wi-Fi.
I did not know that S was for secure.
Oh, see, this is how basic we are.
This is going to be an endless abyss of Alisa. I didn't know that.
So you're just basically saying also, you know, maybe don't do your banking when you're on the subway. But if you want to search for maybe, let's say, He-Man action figures on eBay, that's probably okay.
Totally cool from a security standpoint. Okay. You may get retargeted with lots of ads for that, but right. but it's secure.
Okay.
All right. What about our Wi-Fi at home?
Yes.
Because I'm even paranoid about that. Whenever they try to save my credit card information when I'm online shopping, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No savvy.
Right.
Another good question. You will probably not be shocked to hear that Pi, we're the problem on this one. It's usually human error in how you set it up and how you manage your Wi-Fi. But the good news is there's a few basic steps you could do that really boost your security. So number one, you get it out of the box. Don't leave yourself with the default factory settings, because guess what? Those are public, right? Mm. And really easy for hackers to get into. So step one is you have your router, you're able to change those factory settings, including your password. And so setting up a really strong password and not having the default, that is kind of just step one, super important. Step two is you want to use the encryption settings, right? So there is an option that you can look at the settings and you can pick the encrypted one, which has a setting called, usually somewhere in there, there's WPA or Wireless Protected Access. So before we talked about the S for security, here we're going to say P for protected, and you can just enable that. And that's essentially like you're not leaving your front door open, right? You wouldn't do that in real life. So don't do that with your router.
I'm sorry if you said this already, but where would you find that setting exactly?
Yeah. So when you're setting up, right, however you set up your router, you've got some setting options, and usually just literally in the settings, there's a security menu. Mm-hmm. And I would just say really broadly, anytime you're buying technology, right, beyond just your router, anytime you're buying technology, go to settings and look at, usually there's a privacy option and a security option. And those are just, you know, spend 60 seconds just exploring what those options are. I will say companies are getting so much better. We've got a whole lot of new laws. And so they are offering new options. They may not be default, but you can certainly turn them on.
Okay.
I will say I definitely have the same password that my router came with, because so easy when I need it again, just to turn it around and there's the password.
When other people need it. Yeah. But changing it, I feel like you just keep it on your phone. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you just put a post-it on the back of it and put the new password there. I mean, there are easy ways to do this that I just don't do because I don't know why.
Yeah.
And you could do both of those. You could have the post-it on the router at home, and then you could have a little protected, encrypted note on your phone that has the password. So you can reference that when your friends come over and they want to know what the password is.
We are 4 minutes into this episode and already we are doing everything wrong.
I'm like, what's an encrypted note?
We're going to get to that. We will get to the encrypted notes. But first, I think since we're in this realm of like routers, we're at home. What about a VPN? Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that is. Do you, Raj?
I do not.
But it seems like a good thing. The only time I've ever used a VPN, and my boyfriend did it, Benji did it, because we were in Mexico City and we wanted to watch The Great British Bake Off on Netflix, and we couldn't access Netflix without a VPN.
Okay.
But so what is a VPN and should we have one?
A VPN, let's start with what it means. It's called a virtual private network. And I like to think about it, when you go on the web today, you're usually leaving some type of digital breadcrumb trail. Every website you visit, there's a little bit of a trail left. And what a VPN does is think of it like a secure tunnel between your computer and then the remote server that the VPN provider is managing for you. And so when you do that, it hides your location information, so you're not giving off your IP address to the different companies of the websites that you're browsing. It can hide your browsing history and some other online activities. It doesn't make you fully anonymous, but it does help minimize that digital footprint. The one thing I would say is, like anything, there's a lot of different kinds of companies offering VPN provider, and free usually is never free, right? You're trading something. So if you get a free VPN, I would highly encourage looking at the privacy policy and the reviews and just even the country of origin, right? Who's the provider, where they're based. So that way you pick a VPN that just, you feel confident you're going in it to get security, and you are, in fact, getting that with the provider.
Hmm.
So interesting.
Do you think the average person needs a VPN?
I think they're just, if you had asked me that several years ago, I would say not really. I would think today, though, they're not expensive. And if you care about you want to be more anonymous, you want to have more of a private footprint, then that's a really good thing. I know there are other folks that, you know, I really like getting some type of personalized advertising so that I'm not just getting ads about anything. And so that, you know, I think it's just your preference. You can try it and you can always, it's a toggle on and off. So try it with it, try it without it and see what you think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, could you tell us anything about how, I mean, for people who don't know this, like how we're targeted in that way? Because I joke about like, they're listening to us talk through, you know, the speaker or whatever, but like what's really happening?
Yeah, essentially? Are they listening to us?
They could be listening.
They could be.
Well, sometimes they are. So let's talk about online. When you go online, what happens is a cookie is dropped, right? There is technology that will say fires on the website and drop something on your browser. Oh. And then that digital trail we talked about, as you go visit other sites, they get to know that you looked at those shoes and you actually didn't end up purchasing those shoes. So maybe it might pop top of mind, right? Like 2 hours later, when you're on the web again, you'll see those as you go visit a new site. So it's that digital trail. And there are other companies that help add more data to that to help personalize really. And you know, we think, yeah, you like those shoes. You might actually like this other outfit that complements the shoes. And so provide that type of personalized advertising to you as a result.
Okay. But I want to stick on this for 1 second. Mm-hmm. Because it does seem sometimes where you have just had a conversation about something. You didn't visit a website. And mm-hmm. I don't know if this is happening just because this is, it just feels that way. But like, I was just talking about Windex with a friend. And yes. All of a sudden, Windex does pop up in my feed as an ad. And I think so many people have said now, like, it seems like they are listening to
us. I've definitely also talked about stuff, like, not visited anything, but, like, I've just said something out loud, and then I see an ad for it. And I don't know if it's psychological.
Right. So, Lisa, what do you think about that? Is there any evidence that actually, no, our phones are listening to us and delivering that information?
So, it depends on the devices that you're using, quite okay. honestly. One, often you're giving off location. And so okay. location gives some context for advertising, right? Maybe it's not Windex, but you were near some type of place, frozen yogurt or something that gave that indication. But we also have a lot of virtual assistants that are listening, yes. right? You might right. have a watch. And so step one is just look at the privacy policy on what's the information we collect and see if they discuss that part. They are legally obligated to disclose the types of information that they collect, including biometric information, which would be right audio files of you talking in that conversation. What I would say is generally conversations are considered sensitive personal information. And so that gets the highest protection under the privacy laws.
Mm, okay.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about passwords for a second.
Oh, if no. we can.
I know. Let's go back to passwords. Okay. So I know we're not supposed to use basic things, but I feel like the bar has gotten really high
yeah.
for how complex these should be. First, it was like, you need a number. Like, great. Awesome. And now it's like, you need a character. You need your like late grandmother's, you know, maiden name initial. And I'm like, okay, how complicated do these really need to be?
So if there's one thing that you remember, I would just hope it's passwords matter. I would actually think of it like a passphrase because passwords are really difficult, but the longer and the more complicated, the better. So think of your favorite, I don't know, I have young kids. So think of like the kids' book and the full label mm-hmm. of, you know, the title of the book. I would do something like that and add in a number and a character as you go. Super important because a lot of easy passwords, common passwords like quotes and phrases, those are known. There's the dark web has lots of that data and they have automated ways. Hackers have automated ways of just hitting different websites with all prior publicly known logins and passwords, right? Usually your email and these old passwords. So that's why if you use the same password on multiple websites and that credential gets hacked by, I don't know, the shoe company that you visited, well, now all of the websites, right, that you okay. use that credential are suddenly at risk of essentially leaking the data that they have about you.
So Jason Momoa forever, I should change that password. You're saying people know he's hot is what you're telling
me. Maybe add a few like zeros and exclamation points. And
definitely know, other exclamation points. And that
to make it spicy.
It's spicy.
When we get those emails from a company and they say, your password information has been found in a data breach. I'm going to admit that I don't do anything when that happens. I'm just kind of like, I'm sure it's fine. Oh my what gosh. Should we be doing? Are you?
No, you know.
Are you doing okay, something when that happens?
Here's my thought process. I don't have that much money. I don't have that many assets. Like, what are they going to really do? But then I've been taught that it's not about money and assets.
Your identity.
Sometimes it's like your identity. Yeah. So help us.
But should the minute we get that email about the breach happening, should we go in and make up a crazy
should
new
we call
password
the FBI?
Forever? Okay. Yeah, what should we do?
Well, you should not necessarily call the FBI. And honestly, if you get an email saying call the FBI, that's probably a phishing email and don't click any links on it. When you get an email about a breach or you get a letter, usually it's because those companies are legally required to notify you. But I would look at the letter to see, number one, what kind of information about you was compromised. They have to disclose that. So sometimes it is your login and password. And if it's that, usually the company would reset it, but I would go and reset that password. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's other kinds of data, social security numbers, other things that are really so specific to you. And because of that, my information has definitely been compromised a number of times. So I've put a credit freeze on with the different credit reporting agencies. So that way a new account can't be opened in my name.
Okay.
And so it's a little bit of a pain because when you want to go take out a loan, you got to release the freeze. But I would say overall for the information that matters the most, right? Your credit. I think that's really important to help manage.
That's okay. Really smart.
Yeah.
What are other big mistakes people are making with their passwords? I can't even, I'm just thinking about diversifying, but I'm sure there's other stuff people do.
Yeah. So one, on a lot of phones, if you go, there's a password option, right? That stores all of your prior passwords. Usually there's alerts at the very top of that will tell you when some of your passwords may be compromised or remind you that you're reusing it on different sites. I would say, look, revisit your phone password and privacy settings periodically, because one, the companies are updating the features on that. And two, there could be information you want to act on. So that is one. Number two, a lot of different companies give you the option of two-factor authentication. Mm-hmm. And that just means that you're not solely relying on your password as the gate to get to your information, right? Sometimes it's a text and a code. Sometimes it's facial recognition on top of the password. So you can choose your option and one that might not be too burdensome. But that is an extra insurance layer to protect your data. And where a company offers that, I would recommend using it.
Alisa, how do you feel about facial recognition as a, you know, form of protection?
It's about trust, right? Would mm-hmm. you give your biometric information to just any company? Probably not. Yeah. Just like maybe you wouldn't give your genetic information to just any
sure.
company, right? So I think if you are going to enable facial recognition with a particular company, I would really think hard about, is this a company that has invested in privacy and security? Take a look at their privacy policy, right? That's the most sensitive information you have. If you are trying on lipstick, you might think twice or at least really look to see, is this a company? What kind of information when they take photos or recognize my face for the makeup? What kind of data are they taking? So do I trust them to store that kind of data about me?
I've just watched a lot of like post-apocalyptic like movies and things like that. And I'm scared of
terrifies
all of that.
Terrifies you. Yeah. No, I feel that. I'm assuming you're going to say that we should not be using the same password for multiple sites. Should every mm-hmm. site we're visiting have a unique password?
So I put those in two different buckets. Like they're the sites maybe that you don't care about. They don't have much of your information. And so maybe it doesn't matter if the credentials get breached, right? Mm-hmm. And so maybe you've got one kind of password for those types of, and a fake email, right? An email you only use for marketing as opposed to your personal email communications. But otherwise, when you use the same password at multiple sites, there is a high probability at some point companies have breaches and the password that you had with them might be compromised. And so unless you are refreshing maybe every quarter, right? You do your spring cleaning, you update your passwords so that you're not using an old password and then the same one on multiple sites, which just leaves a lot of points of vulnerability to compromise your information and identity theft. Let me tell you, it is a pain and painful to clean up after it's happened. So where you can take just some basic minimal steps to prevent that type of experience, I just would recommend it.
What about a password vault or a manager? I know a lot more people are using those now, but I also actually asked someone if they had any questions for you when I said we were going to do the show. And she was like, I'm afraid to use a password vault or a password manager because I hear that they get hacked and then all of my passwords are being nightmare. Hacked. What do you think about using one of those?
It matters which one you use, right? And I think that there are a lot of really good sites that have done pretty detailed comparisons, not the sites that get paid to do those comparisons, but ones that are really giving unbiased advice on the different options. And I would say spend some time just really figuring out which is the right one for you and that you trust. While there have been breaches and they've been in the headlines, at least most of the breaches that have happened, they couldn't actually get to the password, right? There was a compromise, but it didn't reveal the passwords of all the users. So I always think about it as if there's the risk, right, of the password vault provider getting hacked versus the risk that if you are going to remember all of your passwords or you're going to, because you cannot remember them all and write them all down, you're reusing the same password or using weak passwords. And so what's the bigger risk there, right? That the company that is investing in security is going to get hacked versus you're going to have, you're going to be breached because of your own errors.
Mm-hmm. Valid.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
So Raj, tell me, how is your social battery right now?
You know, today it's pretty high and vibrant, but it varies day to day.
That makes total sense because it's super easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
Truly. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. For me, therapy has been illuminating. Just to be able to process day-to-day anxieties has helped me so much. I kind of wish that for everyone.
Well, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/doingitwrong today and get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/doingitwrong.
Welcome back to Am I Doing It Wrong? Yeah, let's come back to the cookies conversation. We're always getting the notifications like, do you accept all the cookies? Which like always makes me hungry because I love all the cookies.
Raj, do you accept all the cookies?
I always accept because I didn't know what that meant until you told me, Elisa. But I just imagine that if I said no, they would like not let me see some of the stuff on Zara.
Right, like, right. You know? I do the same thing. I'm always accepting cookies. Is how bad is this?
In real life and on the internet.
Always. Yeah. Anywhere someone gives me a cookie.
Well, one, the reason you're seeing all those banners, right? They're called cookie banners, is a lot of those companies are getting sued under wiretap laws, right? Which is unique and interesting, but I'll put that to the side. Hmm. You can always use a site, even if you decline cookies. Okay. And most of the time they'll be a see other preferences or manage your preferences. You can click on that and then usually choose what kinds of cookies. And really the question is about, do you want to get personalized advertising or not? Right. So there'll be an option for analytics and advertising, and you can choose to agree. You can choose not to agree. You can always clear your cookies. There are a lot of new privacy laws that require these companies at the bottom of their website to have a link that says either your privacy choices or do not sell or share. And that's a direct pass to be able to opt out of being tracked. So you can always change that at some point if you want to refresh and you don't want to be tracked by that particular company or other advertising partners.
So, but there's nothing quote unquote dangerous about accepting cookies per se. It has more to do just with being tracked in terms of advertising.
That is primarily the case. I mean, okay. There's a lot of, you know, I think scary headlines on surveillance, and it comes down to, do you want to be anonymous when you cross over the internet and explore the internet, or are you okay with having some personalization and some advertising? Of course, there are bad actors out there. So that is always the case, but goes back to like, what is in your control? What can you do? And cookies are not going to be really the tipping point that makes you at risk.
How come I never get that cookie banner if I'm visiting a porn site or an OnlyFans? Like, shouldn't I get that at that point?
So here's the dirty secret is that cookie banners are not required in the United States.
Okay.
They're a European Union requirement. The reason that they're popping up is companies are trying to either they have a global approach or they're trying to prevent being sued under these wiretap lawsuits. And so they're not required.
Okay.
That is good to know.
So interesting. Aren't you glad I'm here?
I am so glad you're here.
One thing maybe I'll revisit is just location, because that's something when you talk about just security, by default, sometimes a lot of people leave their location tracking on or choose to always, right? Not just when you're using the app, but always allow your location to be collected. And if you think about our patterns, right? We come back to the same place at night, most nights to our home. Yeah. We go to same places for work. You have familiar patterns. Your location is really personal. And laws treat it as sensitive personal information. And you have the choice. This goes back to, you know, hygiene on your phone, to not share your location all the time or really be intentional about when you're sharing location, right? You might need it because you want to find out how far the airport is from your hotel. Totally fine. But if you don't need to share your location, don't share your location.
I think that's my favorite piece of advice so far. Yeah. And that's something, that's the only thing I've ever really done. Like I, when they give you the option there, I'm always like, share while using the app or whatever. And I try my best, but now I'm going to be even more diligent about it. I really do not want people to see where I am. That's just like a safety thing for anyone. Like, who wants that really?
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is you also get options with a lot of apps on have access to calendar, have access to all your photos. Maybe be a little picky about who you're going to give access to all of these aspects on your device. And just be, you don't need to click yes, yes, accept in order to get the services. And so you can decide, I don't want to share that information, or I don't want to share that information now.
Let's talk about webcams for a second.
Yes.
I think a lot of people we know, if we don't do it ourselves, puts a little like post-it or sticker over their webcam, little tiny camera when they're not using it. I've definitely have done that. What are the odds of someone being able to hack that? Who can see me? Like, what should right. I, what's happening? Am I just being paranoid?
So I am also equally paranoid as a privacy lawyer. I like to keep it covered if I'm not intentionally using it. There is, you know, potential of malware where your device can be taken over. And so I do a couple things. I both cover the camera, right, if I'm not using it, and I close my laptop when I'm not using it. So, you know, just things to think about. Again, you're mitigating risk. It doesn't mean that you are going to get hacked, but I would rather somebody not see into my room if I can avoid it.
Yeah. For a while, a lot of my friends and even I were getting these emails where people would say, I've hacked your webcam. I have footage of you masturbating. Yeah. And if you don't pay me $5,500, I'm going to release that footage. And I was like, No, you like you pay me like that's a yeah. treat. Like I don't go ahead, release it. You know what I mean? But I think if you're not someone like me,
yeah,
you that that's is terrifying.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in that case, it wasn't true.
Yeah.
And people would just call their bluff and be like, you don't have that footage of me. But that to get that email for most people, I think is really terrifying.
Yeah. And there's so many scams like that. Like yep. people will call, you know, Target a lot of times, like seniors, and be like, your loved one has been arrested. We need $5,000 wired right. to this place. And I'm like, damn, you guys are getting really
crafty.
Yeah.
They're so crafty.
How public should our social media be? I've gotten in my ripe old age, like a little more private. I mean,
what do you have locked down on your social media? Like who can see which accounts for you?
Okay. My Instagram used to be private.
Yeah.
Just because I don't want people to know all my business, but because we started doing the podcast and I wanted people to know me, it's public now.
Okay.
And I have stopped posting a lot of stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. I still want all of you to know me. I just don't need everyone to know my like butt cheeks and my bikini photos.
But yeah, that's a good question. In general, what do you think about how private or public we are on social media?
I think that's really your personal preference. You know, we were talking earlier, do you like personalized advertising or not? Well, all of the social media companies give you some choices about your privacy settings. And it could be right that there are some photos you only want your immediate friends, family to see, and other things that you are okay with being, you know, known very publicly. Sometimes it's just your different social media accounts, right? Like one you might use for more of your public facing stuff. So you care a little bit less because you're choosier about what you post. And so at the end of the day, I think it is personal preference, how much is being super, super private important to you and what you're posting, right? What you are putting out there on these sites.
And there are also options now too. Like I know on Instagram, you can just do posts that are like for what you call close friends.
Yeah.
And so only certain people will see it.
Do you use that?
I don't. I've always been such a public figure that like, yeah. I put out too much stuff. I mean, I'm always like, my mom is going to see this. Oh, well, you know, but or you could have a Finsta, you know, for just a totally different name for people to follow that are just close friends.
It's like a lot of effort though.
One thing I will say, I had a friend, she's fairly famous, and we went to brunch, she was visiting, and I posted a photo of us after brunch, and she was like, I need you to take it down. And I've read about this afterwards, and it's like, you shouldn't post photos of your location in real time.
Yeah, of course.
Which I think a lot of people don't even think about, but it's good. Like, wait to post those vacation photos or whatever, maybe until a week later, especially if you're, you know, a single female traveler.
Yeah.
Like, there are things you can do that are really simple, but I wouldn't have thought of.
You're letting people know you're not at home too.
Completely.
It's a whole thing. Also, Elisa, you said you have younger children. I think this is really important when I think about it. A lot of my friends who have younger kids don't put their kids on their social media, or they'll like blur out their face, or are really up until they get to a certain age are like strategic. How do you feel about that?
I'm pretty vigilant about that. And I think it's because it's really their privacy. I shouldn't take away their right to be private. Mm-hmm. They may not want photos of themselves when they were, you know, awkward and 12 online, right? That should not be up to me to do. And, you know, if I want to share photos with close friends or family, I can do that without it having to be on social media, or use your privacy settings and be really restrictive. But I don't post photos of children, of my children, and I'm pretty thoughtful about if you're going to post a photo of other people, right?
Totally.
Would want that. And when you're talking about location, I think that's both what the picture itself represents, but there are location data points in the photos if you've not turned that setting off. Mm-hmm. So it's both, you can end up giving a very precise location when you post it if you've not managed for that. So again, it's just really being thoughtful about what you're putting out in the public sphere and making sure both the people in whatever photos or videos are okay with that, as opposed to unilaterally deciding that.
I think that's underrated, like asking people their permission for
completely.
Stuff, kids or adults. Yeah. Okay. Identity theft protection. What exactly is that? It sounds sexy. Is it worth it?
It's a product that I think some people really appreciate as I don't have to worry about things anymore. There's so many breaches. And so a lot of those breach notice letters that you may or may not read, sometimes they will offer free credit monitoring or free identity theft protection. And so if you're not, you don't have to pay for it, that's a good way to try it out and just see what you think. It has insurance usually as part of the package. So I think that can be really helpful. There are some, I think, very for-profit businesses that will scour the dark web to see where your information is popping up. But there's a lot of information on the dark web. You might have old credentials. So I don't know how helpful it is to constantly be alerted that, yes, I know the same email and password from 12 years ago is popping up again, right? That might just create more stress than be helpful. So bottom line, I think it's not a bad thing to remove some worry about if you were the victim of identity theft. Here are some tools and extra support that you otherwise might not have.
I mean, it is a terrifying thought that someone could steal your identity. I know people, it happened to my mom and it was such a headache. Her trying to get everything taken care of.
It's really terrifying.
And just what it can, you know, do a number on your credit score, all of that.
So, just two tips on that. One, we talked about credit freezes. I will just say that again. It's free and it can be done, you know, without taking too much of your time. And number two, the Federal Trade Commission has a website called onguardonline.gov. And that has essentially a whole identity theft toolkit, if you ever are a victim, that just walks you through what do you have to do? Where do you have to reach out to help get some support? So you're still doing it on your own, but it's a little bit of a roadmap on how to help yourself.
That's really helpful. Yeah. I think that's like kind of a quick triage thing we all need to know about.
Completely. Yeah. What about the cloud? I mean, more and more people are using the cloud. And how safe is that? It sounds like, I'm guessing you're going to say it depends on all the other factors we've talked about and how encrypted everything else is. But in general, how do you feel about using the cloud?
I wonder at this point, like how much is not on the cloud?
Yeah.
Quite honestly, like, I don't think I have a choice in that anymore. And so it comes down to that, you know, right? Like, who are the companies you're interfacing with? They all are legally obligated to have reasonable protection in place. So I think it depends on what you're putting up on the cloud. And then what are all the other things we talked about, right? Password, if you have two-factor authentication enabled, is encryption an option? So you can just, you know, decide that based on what you're doing, what you're putting up in the cloud. And also just coming back to free services versus paid services. And so usually with paid services, you may get a little bit more, including security tools.
Okay.
And this one is one I've been wondering for a while. Should we be using encrypted messaging platforms? Like, sometimes my friends will be like, let's take this conversation to WhatsApp. And I'm like, that's funny because my like old aunties in India use WhatsApp. Like, is that like a cool, sexy thing to do to keep? Are they up on keeping stuff protected?
Yeah.
I think this is really a personal preference on that digital footprint. What I can say is government, for example, send a lot of subpoenas when they're investigating a crime for communication records. And companies may be obligated to turn over different communication records. And so you may not be worried about ever being the target of an investigation, but it's just another step to make your information less available both to government parties, but also for other people to reuse, right? Maybe you got in a fight with that friend and you hadn't enabled disappearing texts. Like, they're just options, I think, to reduce your digital footprint. And even if you like being very publicly out there, you might still want to have some measure of control. And so those apps are really just helpful to be able to do that.
I make a lot of dad jokes and I would like them to be erased after a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like caught out there like in a terrible pun.
That is the thing, though. So much of our data is just forever.
I know.
And that can come back to haunt you. I mean, now like with Twitter, you can get the service where it will scrub all your tweets before a certain date. And I think that's probably a smart idea for a lot of
people. Especially if you're public facing. Yeah.
But it seems like the more we talk, Alisa, the more it's so much of this is just a personal preference. And we have to weigh how comfortable we are with having how much information out in the world, like how much easier that might make our lives in terms of what we're getting fed or not getting fed. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of like super hard and fast rules.
I feel like I have to say, like, I feel like it is a personal preference, but it's the kind of personal preference. It's like, are you going to get vaccinated or not? Like,
right.
It's like, you're clearly going to be protected and safer. And, you know, your family is going to be safer if you do these things, right?
Right.
Do you see it that way, kind
of? No, I totally get that. I think some of it's convenience, too, and laziness.
Yeah.
And, you know, 150%. And it's just like, what's going to take more time? And that's not a good reason.
Yeah.
But it's true. Alisa, what would you say if you, as a security expert, like, what is the one thing you would advise people to do? Like, right now, the minute they turn off this podcast, that you think is going to make them safer with their online privacy?
I would go to my phone and I would look at my privacy and security settings. And I would do that for each of my pieces of technology that I really rely on, like your router at home. I mean, it's digital hygiene, right? In the same way you brush your teeth and you develop a habit over how you do certain things, creating a habit over some core digital hygiene strategies. And you do that over time, and that really does leave just a reduced footprint and makes you less at risk.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that you feel like we've missed and we would be doing a disservice to our listeners if they didn't know it?
Well, on the silver lining and very positive side, there are a ton of changes happening. And so every company is putting resources to improving their privacy, including small businesses and medium businesses. And there's a lot of technology that's helping them. So I think the future looks bright in the sense of companies are going to be better at how they manage our data, but it is a kind of crawl, walk, run type of phase. And I think we're still in the crawl, walk. Middle area.
Yeah, it feels like the Wild West, definitely. Yeah. But having conversations like this, again, like you said, even if you take 1/10 of what we just learned and put it into practice, I think is probably a good thing.
Yeah, and I can tell that you really care about it, which is so helpful. Like, we need people like you who are like, okay, listen, this is important.
Privacy superheroes.
Yes.
Thank you, Alisa. This has been so, so, so useful.
Incredibly.
Thanks for having me. It's super fun.
Now it's time for Better in 5. These are your top 5 takeaways from this episode.
Number 1, your password really should be as complex as you can handle, and it's a good idea to have a unique password for every important site that you're using.
Number 2, you don't have to say yes to cookies, but you don't have to say no either. You get to decide how much information you're going to share with a company.
Number 3, don't automatically give apps and sites access to your location. Be choosy and intentional about who gets to know where you are.
Number 4, it's unclear just how often webcams are really being hacked, but it does happen. So it's easy to just shut your computer or cover up the camera when it's not in use.
And number 5, it might be worth it to use an encrypted messenger like WhatsApp for private messages versus texting. So Noah, how wrong have you been doing online privacy?
I mean, probably the wrongest of anything we've done so far. But the thing I liked, again, like so many of our experts, Alisa was like, you have options.
Yeah.
You get to choose how you want to be online and when you want to be online and where. So I don't think I'm going to turn off some of my cookies. I like being served like the little jumpsuit that I thought I never thought I would want.
And you
to
serve
buy.
In that jumpsuit.
Exactly.
Noah.
So there are some things that I'm like, no, I feel comfortable with that. But there are other things like, I'm going to go change the password on my router.
Yeah.
Or I'm saying I'm going to. I probably won't. I want to change the password on my router.
No, I feel you. I do. And the location thing she was talking about. I feel like we can just go into our phones and take some minimal effort to protect ourselves a little more. And I'm definitely going to do that.
Well, why don't we check in like a month and see how much we've actually done?
Let's troll each other.
Or inspire each other.
Okay.
Embolden each other to take control of our online privacy. But in the meantime, as long as there are things to get wrong, we're going to be right here to help you do them better.
Love you guys.
Do you have something you think you're doing wrong? Email us at amidoingitwrong@huffpost.com and let us know.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.